ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Continuing discussion of Uchinna Sangsa. The name here is specifically meant in relation to the devotees that Krishna helps people who want to understand him to understand him. In the last discussion of this topic, I came up to the point of inquiring into spiritual knowledge. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. In human life, one should inquire into the nature of ultimate reality. What is Brahma? Kim tad Brahma, kim adhyatma? Arjuna asks Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what is that Brahma that you refer to? What is that? Brahma means the absolute truth. Akshara Brahma Paramam. Krishna says Brahma means that. Of course, the word Akshara can have so many meanings, but that it encompasses everything from A to Ksha, from the beginning to the end of the alphabet, everything included. Swabhava Dhyatma Muchate. And that which is spiritual pertains to our very nature. So we should inquire into these subject matters. And what is the conclusion? That conclusion is there also in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says to Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are the Supreme Brahma. You are the supreme abode or repository of everything. Everything rests in you. You are the supreme pure. So this is ultimate knowledge, to understand, in simple English, who is God. And as Srila Prabhupada often said, it is not enough to believe in God, not enough to say that God is great. Well, that's the meaning of God, but we should understand how He is great. So to understand spiritual knowledge, the ultimate what is that ultimate? That is a long journey. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavang mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Long journey. What's the longest journey you can go on? The longest journey. You can go on a train from
Beijing to Moscow.
Beijing to Moscow. That's a long journey. Did you ever? 7 days. Well, even within Russia itself, you can go from
Vladivostok to Moscow.
Vladivostok to Moscow. And you can even go further than Vladivostok. Yeah, Vladivostok to Moscow. Long journey. Many days. Of course, the trains in Russia don't go very fast. Rumba slow. Not rumba slow, but not rumba fast either. Rumba vegam. How and what's the longest journey you can go on? Now they're talking about going to Mars, sending tourists to Mars. They were going to send tourists to the moon. Still no tourists went there. Now they go. But Krishna says, after many lifetimes, one can come to the understanding that Krishna is all in all. So it's a journey of many lifetimes. Someone who's inquiring into the nature of absolute understanding after many lifetimes can understand Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Gyanavan here refers to people who are searching in Vedanta. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Vedanta Sutras begin with the statement that now we should inquire into the nature of Brahma. This is the subject discussed herein. There are so many other sutras. Atta Yoga Anushasanam, the Yoga Sutras begin. The topic of discussion here is Yoga, Atato Dharma Jinga. No, not exactly. Others begin with discussion, what is Dharma? What is the ultimate reality? This is the subject of the Vedanta Sutras. And generally, people think that Vedanta study means something impersonal. Why does it take so many lifetimes? Because people are looking in the wrong place. They're trying to find out the ultimate. But they start off with the presumption that the ultimate is not a person. And so sometimes people are surprised when we when the name Bhaktivedanta. What's this? Bhakti is one thing and Vedanta is something else. They often think like that, isn't it? Bhakti means singing and offering, praying thing, praying to God, offering things to God or whoever, whichever, whatever manifestation of God as they see it. And Vedanta means to go on the path of jnana, of knowledge. What is this Bhakti Vedanta? But actually there's no Bhakti without Vedanta. For us in this world, we have to understand that the ultimate end of knowledge is Krishna. Vaidaischa sarvaraham eva vedyaha. All the Vedas, the basis of the ultimate point of knowledge is Krishna. Vedanti tat tadvividas tadvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanditi shabhyate. The supreme truth described in the Vedanta is of understood in three ways, or on in three levels. The impersonal, the semi-personal, and the fully personal. The example is given. It's like, say, there's the sunlight. Here today, the sunlight is still present. We're all, if we talk about the sunlight, we can all understand, yes, sunlight is here. The sun globe is covered by cloud, but we know there's the sun globe there. And within the sun globe is the deity of the sun god. So if we understand the sun god, then we understand the sun globe is his abode, and the sunlight comes from his body. So that's complete understanding. But if we only understand the sunlight without understanding there's a sun globe, that's incomplete understanding. Or if we understand the sunlight comes from the sun globe, that's more complete understanding. But the full understanding is to understand that there is the sun god. So in the same way, to understand that God is, or the ultimate reality is impersonal, it's a partial and incomplete and not fully correct understanding. To understand that the sun light comes from the sun globe, that's more complete understanding. And the full understanding is to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything emanates from him, and specifically in this example, the Absolute Truth can be conceived of as impersonal, but that's an incomplete understanding. So this search in the Vedanta, many are misled into some impersonal kind of understanding. And there's a widespread misconception that Vedanta study means only this impersonal approach. that was propagated by Sripad Shankaracharya, but then the later Vaishnava Acharyas, especially Sri Ramanuja Acharya, and after him Sri Madhva Acharya, gave the actual understanding of the, or complete understanding of Vedanta, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Narayana Vishnu. So there's no bhakti without Vedanta. And real bhakti is not just some feelings, but it has a very strong support in Shastra, in proper understanding. Prasthan Trayi, to understand Shruti, Smriti, Nyai, all this. Tadshradhana Muniyo, Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya, Pashanti Atmanichatmanam, Bhaktya Shruti Grihitaya. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the seriously inquisitive student or sage practices devotional service and realizes the presence of God within his heart according to knowledge that is received from bhaktya shruti grihitaya. His bhakti is based on hearing from Shastra. So we're very fortunate to be discussing these things, to have this opportunity to discuss about Vishnu, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to have access to this knowledge that he gives in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Sutras, it's the same topic, but presented in a somewhat different way. So we're very fortunate to have faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though we're not great Vedanta scholars. But if we come to the right knowledge, then we're very fortunate, even without being great Vedanta scholars. Otherwise, we might not get that knowledge even after many, many lifetimes. But if we can take the knowledge given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given that to us, then we get perfect knowledge. As Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in Bhagavad Gita as it is, the verdict of Krishna is the final and complete answer to all doubts because he knows past, present and future perfectly. Yeah, Krishna knows everything. So if we get knowledge from Krishna, we who have very, very, very limited intelligence and knowledge and understanding can know everything within our capacity. We can know everything perfectly because he is all-knowing, Sarvagya. That is one of the names within Vishnu Sahasranam. Sarvagya means he who knows everything. And all theists, whatever tradition they're in, whether it's Christian or Islamic, or they all accept that one of the defining attributes of God that distinguishes him from all others is his being Sarvagya. He knows everything. Omniscient, the English word is there. Omniscient, omnipotent means Sarva Shaktiman, all powerful. Omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, Sarva Vyapi. He's present everywhere. So, the word Sarvagya can properly be applied to him only, because he knows everything, and obviously he doesn't have any doubts about anything, as we may have. We don't know anything. He knows everything, and we don't. And therefore we are subject to doubt, especially in this material world. We enter an atmosphere of ignorance because we come to this material world to forget Krishna, to forget God. So we accept ignorance. Krishna bhuli, we forget Krishna. As soon as we forget Krishna, then immediately we're in ignorance. Krishna bhuli seji vanadiya bahimukh. Forgetting Krishna, we are since time immemorial inimical or uninterested in him. So when we do try to find knowledge, we do so on the basis of misconceptions that we embrace. Ishvaroham, aham bhogi. I'm supposed to, this misconception, I'm supposed to control the world, manipulate the world. I'm supposed to enjoy the world. And then we start to look around, well, actually, I'd like to, but I can't really control anything. I try to enjoy this world, but I have to suffer. And when we start to think like that, then we start to inquire. But basically, we have to accept that we are in ignorance. If we think that we already know everything, then we can, then that's another kind of ignorance, another kind of foolishness. We don't know. We're all in ignorance. Everyone in this material world is foolish, basically. We don't know who we are, where, how we're here, what we're doing here, who is God, why we're suffering in this world. And so many people may have so many philosophies and so many ideas. Hare Krishna. All right. Jai Hare Krishna. Very nice. So many philosophies and so many ideas, but basically everyone's in ignorance. So they all the different philosophers all disagree with each other, and they disagree with what Krishna says, but let's face it, we don't know, we're all fools. We don't know unless we take knowledge from the perfect, who is Krishna. Fortunately, actual knowledge doesn't depend upon the collective opinion of fools. If all the fools of the world vote 1 + 1 = 3, which is something a fool might believe, you have to be very foolish to believe that, then they wouldn't make it true. So Krishna consciousness doesn't work by the majority vote of fools, it works by the descending mercy of Krishna. All these topics are discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atapi te deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshanu grihita evahi janati tatvang bhagavansh mahim no nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvam. Lord Brahma addresses Krishna, speaking about Krishna's greatness. And then he says, atapi, therefore, you, God, atapi te deva, your two lotus feet, one can understand about Krishna if he gets just even a little of Krishna's mercy. Anugrihita, he has to accept it also. We have to accept Krishna's mercy. You have to be willing to accept it. Then we can understand him. Otherwise, if we go on speculating by our own intelligence, for millions and millions of lifetimes, we won't understand anything about His glories. But if we accept His mercy, then we can do so. And what's the process to accept? Jnane prayasamudapasya. To stop thinking that we can understand everything with our own unaided intelligence. Namanta eva. We should become humble enough to accept that I don't know about God. Don't know about anything, clearly. I have to accept His mercy. Namanta eva. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam. One should spend one's life hearing about Krishna from self-realized souls. Sthane sthita. Whatever situation one is in. We can stay there. But one should go on. Shujikatang tanuvang manobe ye prayasho jitajito apitai strilokam. Whatever situation one's in, one can dedicate oneself, mind, body and words, in the service of Krishna. And in this way one can conquer he who is unconquerable by any other means. So that's a great subject, how the unconquerable is conquered. But the point is, we have to hear about Him from those who know. You may say, well, how is Krishna going to resolve my doubts? I don't see Krishna. We have to hear from those who have heard from Krishna. And they say, well, Krishna was here such a long time ago. Yeah, but that same knowledge is coming down. That name is coming up in the next verse, another very important name. Shashvata Sthira. He is eternally the same. The knowledge He gave many millions of years ago is applicable today also. I mentioned that in Chennai the other night, when after those children had recited Vishnu Sahasranam. They did very well, huh? They did not only Vishnu Sahasranam, but all the lead-in verses also, and chum, they were just chanting like that. No books, just no hesitancy. Great. Very well trained. Very nice. So, therefore, Krishna is called Adhokshaja. He's beyond the range of material sense perception. We can't see Him with eyes that are not trained to see Him. We can't understand Him with intelligence that is not trained to understand Him. But we can understand Him. Chinna Sangshaya. When all our doubts, all our misgivings, all our ignorance is cut by His mercy. Now, of course, there are many people who will say, well, I don't doubt. Oh, I don't know. What's that? I don't have any doubts cut. I don't doubt. And there are many people who are very convinced, but the problem is they're convinced about something which isn't true. a person can speak very convincingly. Generally, if we hear someone speak very convincingly, we tend to become influenced. That story of Bhagavan became a bhoot. One man, his friends played a trick on him. So when they saw him he was out on his morning walk, he saw one of his friends. And his friend said, oh, Bhagavan, his name was Bhagavan, just his, not that actual Bhagavan. You became, he became a ghost and ran away in fear. And this man called Bhagavan thought, it's very strange. Why was he doing? Then he, going on his morning walk again, he came across another of his friends, and the next friend said, Bhagavan became a ghost and ran away. And after this had happened three or four times, he started to think, oh, maybe I became a ghost. There's absolutely no empiric evidence that he became a ghost or even that he died. But just because so many people say so and they seem to be convinced, then we start to doubt ourselves. So if for instance, we hear enough times that, or we're told, as if it's absolutely authoritative, unquestioned fact that, you see, a long, long time ago, as all good fairy stories begin, there was nothing, and then it exploded. Then it all settled down, and then there was an ocean, and out of it jumped some atoms formed molecules, and the molecules formed cells, and the cells formed fish, and they jumped on the land, and they became land creatures, and then some of them grew a little bigger and became chimpanzees, and then some of them stood up, and then they became human beings, and here we are all today. This is called science. All the scientists agree. Must be true. What do you know? You're not a scientist. Oh, well, yeah, it must be true. Yeah. So, someone might be convinced. They might be able to present it very convincingly. Yes, you see, eloquent, you see, as it's stated in the Encyclopedia Britannica, which is supposed to be very authoritative knowledge, at least in an edition I saw a few years ago, how men came from chimpanzees. They were running around on four legs, and then, there were four-legged animals, and then some of them were able to stand up and balance on two legs and reach the fruits in the trees, and so they got this evolutionary advantage, and they became two-legged. And this is how man evolved. It's in the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's supposed to be intelligent people. Just goes to show how these fairy stories are taken as knowledge. So a person may speak very convincingly, eloquently, knowledgeably. He's convinced that he's correct. He makes a lot of verve, a lot of spirit in what he seems to make a lot of good points. But it doesn't mean he's right. If we hear someone speak very with a mood that he's so convinced, yes, the world is going to end in 2 weeks, and it's exactly. I've been hearing that since I was a kid, and you know, for hundreds of years they're saying the world's going to end. Jesus is going to come. You'll all go to hell. Okay. I'll just take a little nap. You know, there's nothing to get excited about. We heard it so many times. And they still, but they're quite convinced. So we should know that everyone in this material world, their knowledge is faulty. So what am I doing sitting here speaking? Maybe I'm speaking very eloquently, convincingly. We have to see what the source of the knowledge is. What is the source of the knowledge? Well, we claim it's from God Himself. People may doubt. Yeah, it's possible to go on doubting. But then, he who is saṅśayātmanā, who is just full of doubts all the time, you can't understand anything, you can't make any progress. So what do we do? We have to pray to God. To God, I'm sitting here in this material world, I don't know what's going on. So many people say so many things. Please reveal yourself to me. So he who is sarvajña, who knows everything, his knowledge is perfect. And that must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who presents knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. The whole Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. Krishna is giving us knowledge. He's teaching. Takes the role of a teacher, a guru to Arjuna. Etaj jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yadatonyata, Krishna says. What I'm presenting here is knowledge, and everything else aside from this is non-knowledge or ignorance. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutasto vijitindriyaha. The Krishna, so many times in Bhagavad Gita, used the terms jnana, knowledge, and vijnana, specialized knowledge or realized knowledge. So Krishna is giving knowledge, but he also says several times in Bhagavad Gita, matam mama. It's like at the end of the sixth chapter, yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shadhavan bhajate yamam samayukta tamo mataha. In my opinion, Krishna says, the best of all yogis is the one who, taking me into the depths of his heart, worships me with great faith. That person is the best linked with me. Here, yoga means linked, yoga, yoke, to join up together. So, what Krishna says, what his opinion is, matam mama, this is my opinion, Krishna says, that is a fact. What my opinion is, what your opinion is, what anyone else's opinion is, that's simply our speculation. What Krishna says, that is a fact. He's convincing Arjuna on the platform of intelligence. Arjuna started off as if he was very intelligent. The whole Bhagavad Gita came from Arjuna thinking he was very intelligent. Now I will instruct Krishna. But Krishna told him, you're a fool. And then Arjuna had enough intelligence to accept that I need to be instructed by Krishna. Arjuna started off on the platform of emotions. How can we be happy? By killing our Kimno Rajena Govinda. What is that? Kim Suga, Kim Bogar Jivitaniva. Well, how are we going to be happy by winning the kingdom? How can we enjoy it when those for whom we wanted to enjoy with, they'd all be dead? So he started off on the platform of emotions. Krishna took him to the platform of actual knowledge, actual intelligence, and ultimately intelligence to accept that knowledge comes from Krishna. And Arjuna also accepted that. Krishna is the right person to remove doubts. Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, the Gaudiya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, also accepts this. As several of the commentators accept that this name means that specifically he removes his devotees' doubts. And as Arjuna says to Krishna, we find in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says to Krishna that what happens to a yogi who leaves the world, leaves behind all prospects of success and happiness in this world, but is not successful on the path of yoga. What happens to him? And he says to Krishna about this query of his, etan me sangshayam Krishna chetam arhasya sheshataha tvadanya sangshayasyasya chetanya hi upapadyate. So you'll hear in this words, in this verse, twice the word sangshay comes and twice the word cheta comes. So cheta, chinna means the same. So Arjuna says to Krishna, you are the right person to cut this doubt of mine. I don't see anyone but you who is capable of destroying this doubt. So Krishna destroys any doubts devotees may have about himself or about anything connected with pure devotional service, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He refers to his devotees who are Matyata Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Paraspuram Katyantas Chamang Lityang Tushanti Charamanticha. He refers to devotees who have made Krishna one with their heart, whose Madgata Prana, their life has gone to him. In other words, they've absorbed their life in him. Who converse among themselves and enlighten each other about him, who are regularly engaged in discussing him, and in this way they achieve great satisfaction and pleasure on the spiritual platform. Krishna, referring to such devotees, says, Teisham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. He says to such devotees who are always engaged in my devotional service with love, Teisham bhajatam priti, I give them the requisite intelligence by which they can come to me. And then he continues, Krishna continues to say, Tesham eva anukampata mahama jnana jangtamaha nashyami atma bhavasto jnana deepena basmata. Krishna says that out of my mercy unto such devotees, Tesham eva anukampata, just like the lamp of, I light the lamp of knowledge within their heart to dispel any ignorance, the darkness of ignorance that is within their heart. So Krishna is the right person to destroy any kinds of doubts that we may have concerning himself. Elsewhere in Gita, or just prior to this, in the previous chapter, Krishna said, Ashadadhana purusha dharmasya asya parantapa aprapyamangdevartante mrityu sangsara vartmane. He says that people who don't have faith in him, persons who maintain an attitude of doubt, or who, in other words, who make some quasi-intellectual objections to surrendering to Krishna, what happens to them? Then they fall away from devotional service, or they don't get situated in devotional service, and have to continue in repeated birth and death. That's a heavy thing, isn't it? We're all going to die soon. I often say that to people, they become shocked. They say, you're going to die soon, they become shocked. Oh, oh. It's true of everyone. Even if we live a million years, we're going to die soon, because what is a million years in eternity? We're all going to die soon. There's the story, Lomasha Rishi. He had a very hairy body. His whole body was covered with hairs. And he used to do his sadhana and meditation, everything, outside. So one time someone asked him, well, why don't you build a hut that you can live in to shelter you? He said, no, I'm not going to live. Anyway, I'm not going to live very long. What it was, every life of Brahma, every time a Brahma died, one hair would fall from his body. When all the hairs fall out, then he'll die. He said, I'm not going to live very long. relativity theory, long before Einstein. We're not going to live long. Ah. And then we have to die. And then we have to get born again. Jatasya hu. What is it? Jatasya hi dhruvang mrityu, dhruvang janma mrityasya. Everyone has to die. Everyone has to get born again. And it goes on and on and on until we place our faith in Krishna. If we don't get faith in Krishna, then again and again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Punarapi janani jartare shayanam. Again and again born, again and again die, again and again lie down in the womb of a mother. Yaha sangsari bahudustare kripya pare tare morari. This is Shankaracharya and his followers praying like this, that this material existence is very difficult to cross. So what do? Pray to Krishna. Take me across. Please, Krishna, take me across this. From Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 2, purport, I'll read from that. Arjuna addresses the Lord as Madhusudana, because Krishna once killed a demon called Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are of the nature of doubt, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna, because Arjuna is a Krishna-conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna here addresses him as Madhusudana, so that Krishna might kill the demonic doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind. So in this way we find in Bhagavad Gita also an indirect reference to Krishna being he who dispels the doubts of the devotees. He's very competent to do so. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now, and I suppose there'll be another 2 or maybe 3 sessions on this name. Hare Krishna.